Blog Talk Radio.
Tattoo.
Well, I had the phone on me. We're getting feedback here. I hope I corrected the feedback problem. And so... again, I want to thank you for joining us tonight on Crown Talk and Drum. We are having a discussion tonight, a chit-chat, and that chit-chat is regarding the season that we are in and the impact that it has upon us. Doesn't necessarily have that type of impact on everyone, but we're going to talk about stress a little bit tonight. Stress and this holiday season. Even though we realize that the holiday season is supposed to be one of joy, one that gives people hope, one that provides spiritual comfort to the listeners. And as we began this conversation, I have to confess that I was a victim of this process for years. Even when I was pastoring, we will have the activities that's taking place tonight in churches around the country, where they are talking about this is the first Sunday of Advent. And the concept is a concept that gives people hope. Is a concept that helps people to come to grips with who they are and whose they are. And Father, it helps people to deal with their immortality. I was at a friend of mine today, and I even had to deal with my immortality while sitting there with him. And so doing, the idea for this program swept in my mind. And it swept there because of the amount of stress that this season Brain, you may hear me stirring in a cup of coffee here. This season brings stress. It brings stress because people are struggling with that which the world has defined supposed to take place during this season. And I know some of you may be a little bit out of shape, but I talk a little slow. One day I'll speed up and talk a little faster. But until then, I trust that you're able to discern something from the conversation that we will have. What is stress? First, I guess I should introduce myself. It's just how this whole idea has gotten me worked up. I am a trauma responder, and I've been that for probably going on 20 years now. I'm a trained trauma responder, and I have responded to many different situations and circumstances. And I'm also a police chaplain, and I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in humankind. And it has been a challenge in a way to watch it and to wonder how can people do such evil things to each other and feel it's okay. That was not a rat that was rattling paper. That was me. This program tonight is coming to you. I'm not at home yet. Therefore, I have to make this broadcast away. I am retired pastor, Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and I deal with words that work. Words that work. Now let's just take that part of our topic, words that work, and apply that to this time that we are in. What am I saying? What does the words that describe this season say to you? Some of you look at it as Christmas, and some of you look at it as the birth of the Messiah. Well, say the birth of Jesus. There's a distinction even in that name that one needs to come to grips with. The name Jesus that refers to that image that hangs in the churches, that hangs in our homes, that hangs in public buildings. It's not the image of the Bible. And I want you to challenge me on that and go to your Bible, your holy book, or what you want to call it, and see what image, and see if, in fact, that's supposed to be an image at all. Words that work. So now, if, in fact, those are images that are not reflected of the scripture, what is their purpose? We must begin to think through some of the stuff that we say and some of the stuff that we do. I know for a lot of young people, whenever you look at it through their eyes, they see toys. They see fruits and candies, and they see a time that they don't have to go to school. They see all of that. But like where the people are going to tonight, and if I would have been pastoring, and if I was pastoring a traditional church, we would either had it this morning or we would be having something this evening to bring in or mark the beginning of Advent. Advent has four Sundays, y'all. I want you to look it up. I can tell you what it is. But tonight, I'm not going to tell you what it is, because whenever people used to tell me something, I could easily dismiss it outrightly if it was something I didn't want to hear. But whenever I had to do the research and I found it out for myself what it was or what it is or what it is not, I remembered it. And that caused me to sit with it. And as I sat with it, I was able to make it part of me, part of my understanding. And that was a good thing. Now, if, in fact, those words have different meaning, and let's keep it in context. One meaning is that this is a commercial season, and the other meaning is this is a holy day, a holy season. And now, how could those two coexist? Remember now, what is the title? Words have meaning. So, what do? We create some images, and we call it Santa Claus, and we create an image that almost paralyze the biblical image. Now, you said now, Apostle, you're just going too far. No, I have not. And if you take time to sit and to meditate and reflect on it with yourself, and not listen to what other people tell you that it should be, I think you come out close to the same understanding that I came up with. If it's a commercial time, and commercial means what? It means moving goods and service. Therefore, to do that, you must have a vehicle, or you must have some method. So what method comes to mind is Santa Claus. Now, when I was growing up, I looked forward to this season because I knew Santa Claus was going to bring me a toy. Not just a toy, but toys. I made a list. And they told me that lie, that if you're not good, Santa Claus not gonna bring you a toy, not gonna bring you anything. That was a lie. When I realized you didn't have to be good to get a toy, you can get a toy anyway. Or you're gonna have activities that you can be engaging in. As a child, we look for toys. As we grow older, we look for more in terms of what the world created was opportunity to socialize. We went to the Christmas party. And some of us had specific purposes in mind that we were going to try and convince members of the opposite sex to do what we wanted them to do, irregardless of what decision that they had made regarding the subject. Now, what did that do? That set up a conflict with the moral and the spiritual side, which says that we were not supposed to be doing those things that we were trying to do, and that there was a cost. There was going to be a cost for us trying to do those things or doing them. I know for me, when I was in high school, I looked forward to that holiday because of the parties, the socializing that was going to take place, and the benefit that one was deriving from the pleasure, rather not benefit, the pleasure, and which was in direct conflict with what the church was telling me. And then I began to see the hypocrisy that was even in the church during this time. Because as I did my research on this season, there is different views, and there are more views than not, that what the church say happened didn't even happen in this time of year. And it couldn't have happened based on the climate conditions. And here again, that's all that left me hanging. And the church supposed to be speaking truth. It's supposed to be where I learned the truth. But if I conclude based on biblical history and looking at it in terms of the sciences, which leads one to believe that during this time of year, that all that stuff that we said happened, all probability didn't even happen this time of year. Again, y'all, I can tell you, but I challenge you to Google it. Just Google Christmas. Google the origin of Christmas. Google the time of the season, the climate condition. And ask the question. See, you have access to knowledge, to tools that could take you to the truth, or it might not be the truth, because sometimes it takes you out there and it is some conspiracy theory. But you will know, you will realize the truth when you arrive at that position. And the thing about all of this, I'm not trying to create anything that is not truth, because there's enough of that. We have enough clowns running around on the earth now. Some people are asking, when is the truth the truth? Some people are saying that alternative facts. Some people are saying that it's not true unless I say it, unless you hear it from me. Now, how can one make those statements whenever you line up things with the Holy Book? The Holy Book says one thing, and man says another. We're just chit-chatting today. Next week, after you go do your research, we're going to deal with some facts. Not alternative facts either, but some facts. What are the facts? But let's get back and keep it simple today. K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. And I look at it, you said, you being hard. No, I was stupid for years. Stupid. And it was simple. It was right there in front of my eyes. I took whatever I was told as being gospel, some people say. Other people say it's being the truth. And if your ancestors who are transitioned out of here, who you held in high esteem, said it was truth, then it must be truth. You turn on the television and radio, they're broadcasting it left and right. You go to church, the pastor is saying it. You have a tendency to want to walk away believing it. I know I did for years. And in the beginning, it because of the question was, what's in it for me? And all kinds of good stuff was in it for me. And you. And the business community. Business community balanced their books for the most part during this season, including some of the churches, the Lord's churches, not the body of Christ. No, I'm making a distinction. Body of Christ is a spiritual group. The church is the organization. And that's how I separate the two as I take a look at tradition, experience, and reason. Now, we have Santa Claus. I was taught that you better be good if you want Santa Claus to bring you toys. First, I believe that. I try to be good. I made a special effort to be good. I did. And sometime I fell off the wagon. But I still got my toys. I still got what I asked for. Instead of my parents and your guardians, instead of them chastising and disciplining you, they told you that lie. And whenever you reach a point with that lie, you saw through it. And you then begin to take advantage of it. Now, let's talk, that's from the receiver. Now, I've been on both sides, the receiver side and the giver side. And I watched my parents when I got older and how it might have been stressful at times for them to fulfill the requests of us, of their children, us's. But yet, they will not leave one stone unturned until they found a way. Stressful till they found a way to bring those gifts so that we children would be able to get what we asked for. Stress. What I mean is that they might not have all the money that was necessary to buy those things. Nobody told us that that the parents had to buy them. We just thought Santa Claus bought them. I guess they fell out of the air. All I'm saying is we need to think all about this stuff before we become an active participant in it. It's heartbreaking now to look back and see the amount of stress that people have put on it during this season. It's supposed to be one of the church's holy days. But yet, it was hard for the adults. And even for the young adults, even for the teenagers, whenever you reach a certain level, you had little girlfriends. And you were expected to buy a gift, have a gift for them. And some people take this was that they will always break off with the little girlfriend just before the Christmas holiday, so that they wouldn't have to get a gift. As opposed to telling the little girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever, that I can't afford no gift this time. Or let's just sit. Let's visit. Let's do something that it will not require my having to get stressed out trying to give you something so you will appreciate or feel good about me. I told just now as a parent, we went through a time of stress trying to get those things that the children asked for, times when the economy was down, times when we didn't plan properly. And so doing, there was tension And there's big time tension in the household. There became tension between husband and wife. There was tension between parent and child. Yeah, I said tension between husband and wife. Or say they wasn't married. There was still tension. Say that that person couldn't get the gift that the girlfriend wanted. Or he thought she should have. Or vice versa. They felt bad. They felt depressed. All of this is part of this holiday season. Again, this is chit-chat time. And next week, we're going to deal with some facts. And ain't no point in you deciding you're going to wait till next week because you're going to go through this. 9 times out of 10. You're already in it. Cause you are looking at ways now how you can do those things and get the things that people feel they should have. This is the time people feel privileged. It's sad. Real sad. They don't, because they're selfish. And if you're selfish, you don't think of what the other person is experiencing. When you begin to look at things like that, looking at it from that point of view or that perspective, words that work. Words that stop working for the commercial. Then you will begin to back away. That's what we did. So the money that we would spend on presents and that kind of stuff wasn't there. Didn't come from us. We started planning. Maybe we planned a trip somewhere the kids wanted to go, somewhere we wanted to go, to take them, to carry them for education purposes, where they could derive something that would carry them through the year. All through the years. Words that work. So now if the words stop working, then the commercial side, they had to go back to the drawing board. And they had to figure out another way of enticing us to spend money. I'm just, and we can just take the latter part. It's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel. So, people say Christmas. What do you hear? People say Christmas. What do you feel? Do you feel that which the church had put out? Or you feel that which the world has put out? Or do you feel a combination of both? Do you go to church and leave there and go to the club? And you just kind of spirit-filled discussion. And now you are going to the club, where you get a different form of spirit. The spirit you get is distilled spirit. Both spirits now can appeal to the emotion. The spirit that you receive from the church activity, it too puts you in a state of euphoria, because the songs that were sung, the hymns, they started to set the stage. In the play that you witness, then when you go to the club, the spirits there are the still spirits, and they too, the music you hear and everything appeals to your emotion. When you hear the word Christmas, what do you hear? And what do you feel? I know there's one song they used to play over Christmas. It was about coming home for Christmas. If not by Christmas, by New Year's Eve. And what does that say to you? What kind of hope does that generate in you? What are the feelings you feel? Is it the type of feelings that draw you closer to the Creator? Or are they the type of feelings that lead you into disobedience? I know for me, it used to be both. Like I said, you go to church, you get that feeling of euphoria, that emotional high. Then you go to the club. You hear the music. You have the distilled spirits. And that in itself leads you to another state of being. And I just marvel at the way this season is marketed and the lies that they got that we have bought into. And because of that, some of us get to be stressed out after you go through the world's influence. Then, when you wake up on the other side, you start asking yourself the question, how did I get here? How? How did I get out of this mess that I got myself into? words that worked, that work. The merchants you spend and spend and spend, the merchant will have accomplished their objective, and they realize what you heard. You heard them inviting you to come in and spend your money. And the lenders during this time of year, they're working overtime to get you to come in and obligate yourself to a contract that you regret later that you signed. And I can imagine how our ancestors felt when they gave us that toy, and that toy, some of them toys didn't last a whole day before they were destroyed. How did they feel? They didn't let on like that they felt bad. And I can imagine that they might have felt like, well, he got the toys he asked for, he or she asked for. And as a result of that, they were so good about themselves. Now, the question becomes, I said, a teaching moment in any of these scenarios that I laid out. What's a teachable moment that we all miss? I want you to think about that too. And next week, I want you to call in 646-668-8217. Give me a call. Don't deal with conspiracy theories now. If you have a biblical fact or just a fact that you want to discuss, I'm here. And remember, words that work, it's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel. It's not what you say. It is what the people hear and feel. It sounds so easy, so simple. And it is. Now, tonight, I'm not clear as to whether or not I was able to get out. I'm going to do a mic test again. And we will see. If, in fact, this mic is broadcasting. That test was successful. Therefore, we know that I'm being heard. And because of that, you hear a chime behind me. That's because where I'm broadcasting from, Okay. That was short. Now, let us think about the words that you hear. And when you hear those words, what are you hearing? And what are you feeling? And next week, it won't be a chit-chat. It will be some spiritual facts. And I just ask that you ask the Holy Spirit whenever you're reading, doing your research. Ask your Creator to give you the spirit of courage to accept the truth as written. And that'll take you a long ways. And you too. I know for me, after I prayed that prayer, the similar prayer, I was comfortable with whatever I read and whatever the Holy Spirit led me into. So now, until next week, same time, 6 p.m., I will be back on the air. With the facts. And hopefully the facts will help remove some of the tension and conflict that this season brings. Let's pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, oh Heavenly Father, we come to you in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the tension. We come to you knowing that you have already provided the avenue for the truth. And I just ask you, let us accept the truth as written and as it's spoken to us through the Holy Spirit, so that through this season we can have the peace that passes all understanding. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Until next week, shalom, shalom.